Okay, thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Okay, prayer. We need to be in prayer for Tish. She's not doing well, and we just need to be in prayer for her. We need to be in prayer for Nathan and Amber and Wes. Need to be in prayer for Wes, absolutely. And have you heard any more from Chelsea at all? Okay. And let's see, Vic Edwards, his granddaughter. And his daughter. Kit, have you heard any news? All right, good.
I got to read, this girl's supposed to, for lack of a better word, allocute to all that she's done, and it's like a 30-page letter that she wrote, but it only covered some. She's making progress.
Good. So,
she wants to go home.
Yeah.
But she still has some issues to work through.
Well, she'll have them, and hopefully this will take off the edge of a lot of them. But she'll go home with them even after it's all over, and then what she does with it. Yeah. That's our prayer.
Yeah.
Angela will.
And my sister says thanks for the prayers. I didn't get to. My wife's the intermediary. I don't get to talk to my sister.
You don't get to talk to your own sister?
My wife says, us women have to talk.
We're not. I'm not even going to go there. Whatever it is, I'll let it go. And if that works for y'all, that works for y'all.
My sister says thanks for the prayers. And,
okay. Well, we'll definitely continue to be in prayer. And that's good. Maybe get another update Sunday morning for the class. Let's see. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. Just he's not getting really better. This time has taken its toll, so we need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. It was good seeing him at church this morning, or Sunday morning. Need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker, and she continues to battle through her physical problem. Any other prayer requests? Yes?
There's a young woman at work who has a knee, and I've forgotten her name.
Okay. At 3 years of age, on the top of her head also?
She's lost some patches of hair.
Oh, wow.
All the hair on her right arm.
Wow.
She's lost one of her eyebrows.
Oh, my goodness. Can this condition be turn into a severe problem? Wow. Oh, my goodness. Bless her little heart. Wow. Oh, man. Yeah. Gee. That's a shame. Wow. Well, we need to be in prayer that whatever God is doing in the family's life. Holly. Need to be in prayer for Holly and her family because it's definitely something going on with the family. And, so we'll just be in prayer. Absolutely. Any other prayer? Yes, sir.
Help my brother Dutch, my older brother.
Yes.
His journey.
Okay. Need to be in prayer for Dutch. Sure will. Whatever God is doing to get his attention and get him where he wants him. So yeah, we'll be in prayer for Dutch.
Herman, any word on Judith Young's grandson?
On who?
Judith Young's grandson.
Doing much better. Thank you. Yes. He has gotten over the bronchitis and all of the problems, and he's doing well. Thank you. Yes. And so thank you for asking.
How about you, Herman?
I don't know what's going to do about it. It'll just come and go, I guess. It's just done for 10 or 15 years, and it'll be there, and sometimes it won't, and sometimes it will. And I don't know. Okay, let's begin in a word of prayer. And
are we...
Yes. Yes, my goodness, continue to be in prayer, because I'm going to continue doing some things and see if they'll be effective. I've had one shot, and I'm going to do another one, and a shot with a needle, and be sure we get the shots down correctly, and and so yeah, please, yeah. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. We're in a section of scripture that's just a mystery to a lot of people, where Christ said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you, and you in me. And it's these kinds of statements that cause a lot of people to kind of disdain for Christianity. However, that doesn't come out a whole lot, because not many people know about it, understand it enough to even talk about it. And but here it's in the setting. What's interesting to me is that he does this. And this is not milk. This is not basic teaching. This is some heavy stuff. But it's right here in the midst of giving the Holy Spirit, the new commandment, the Holy Spirit, all these things. And he gets into this, I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. And so it's going to become a very important issue in the Christian life if we can grasp what's going on at this point. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, there are things in the spiritual realm that is a mystery to flesh thinking, a mystery to the thought process of our flesh nature, and yet, because our Savior talks a little bit about this in the upper room, becomes something that is of importance in our lives to understand how we are in Christ and Christ is in us. I pray your Spirit will give me the words to teach these things in clarity and simplicity. They can have an impact on our life in understanding how Christ is in the Father is in Christ, and how we are in Christ and Christ is in us, and the impact of what these things mean. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, involved in the wrapping around this type of teaching by Jesus Christ in the upper room is the number of times we're going to have the word faith or believe given into it. Now, we do not have a blind faith. The substance of our faith lies in the person. So it's not a blind faith. Often faith can be a blind faith, just have faith, but it's nebulous as to who and what. But ours is not a blind faith, because the substance is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Neither is our faith mystical. It is objective and tangible as the person we're trusting, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we study faith, we don't want to be occupied with faith. On Sunday morning in Romans chapter 1, where faith, the righteous shall live by faith, we don't want to become occupied with faith. Don't do that with your thought process with faith. We want to be occupied with the object of faith, because therein is the dynamics of faith. We don't need to get hours and hours and deep involved in faith, because that's not what's doing it. It's accomplishing anything. It's the object of faith that is accomplishing things. So, and this is why, as we've seen, The standard of measurement is a grain of mustard seed. Why? Just a little faith is all that is required, because God is doing the work, not faith. The Son is doing the work, not faith. The Holy Spirit is doing the work, not faith. So we don't want to get overemphasized or occupied with a big deal about faith, because it's not in faith. It's in the object of faith. So therefore we move tonight and continue in verse 10 of John 14. Verse 10. Do you not believe? Now, this very fact he starts off with this believing is countering what Philip has been talking about. Show us the Father. And so he's taking him to the area where understanding the spiritual things that Christ is talking about is going to be understood, and that is in the area of faith perception. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Now, this doesn't come from the law. This doesn't come from the Old Testament. This is something dramatic for the church to start grasping. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, not by my flesh desire, my flesh initiative. So we're going to have to find out by what initiative does he say what he says. And by the way, it's going to be the same for us, our initiative. So, not my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. So, all the things that Christ is saying is revealing the works of God the Father. Jesus Christ now starts a discussion on how we know or grasp anything in the spiritual realm, and that is by faith. But again, that's where I started out. Faith is not the great issue here. Let's not get too occupied with it. It's the object of faith that we want to concentrate on. We're getting ready to go into a highly neglected area of study of our lives. And I'm not being dramatic when I say that. This is a highly neglected area. The relationship of God the Father, let's just put it on the board, the relationship of God the Father and of God the Son, Jesus Christ. This is a mystery. It's a mystery. The relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. This is a mystery. The relationship of the Holy Spirit and you, each of us, is a mystery. The relationship of you and Jesus Christ is a mystery. And yet all of these are interwoven in our Christian life and in our spiritual life. The interrelationship of a husband and wife, very important in their total activity of life, should be anyway. And so we have these relationships all highly involved in our Christian life. Jesus Christ is getting ready to leave planet Earth. Remember that. So what he is saying now to the disciples and to us is pertinent to the church age. Not in the Old Testament, but in the church age. Believing that Jesus Christ is in the Father and the Father is in him, and understanding the impact of this relationship, is fundamental to our believing and grasping that Jesus Christ is in us and we are in him. So he's going to start here with his relationship with the Father. And as we're going to see, this is going to serve our pattern, our model of understanding how we are in Christ and Christ is in us. So we want to start, he starts us off, Christ does, talking about how he is in the Father and the Father is in him. So very close to this discussion is verse 20. Look at verse 20, because I'll be going back and forth until we get to verse 20 again. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, what day is he talking about? He's talking about when the Holy Spirit is given. That's what he's talking about. So, he's laying out a truth about himself and the Father that is going to serve as a pattern for understanding our relationship with Christ, Christ's relationship with us, and indeed our relationship with the Father. I could put the Father down here in our relationship with Him, because this is going to come up in a few verses after verse 20. So all of this is going to be so important. So the relationship of Jesus Christ and God the Father is going to serve as a union model. Whoop. As a union model. The union of Jesus Christ and God the Father and Jesus Christ, is going to serve as a model for our relationship with Christ and how Christ is in us and we are in Jesus Christ. The more that you believe and understand the union of Jesus Christ as He's speaking and God the Father, the more we will believe and understand our own union with Jesus Christ and its impact in our lives. Now, there are a lot of verses in the New Testament, and we'll study them. Well, not study, but we'll go over them. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We'll go over some of these, because Paul is going to pick up on what Christ is saying here, and we'll word it in different ways. But Jesus Christ is laying this out in a mystery fashion, and this is going to be what we have to take a look at. And why do we want to love as Jesus Christ loves? Jesus Christ loves as the Father loves. We love as Jesus Christ loves, therefore what? We love as the Father. We're right back to the Father. And this is so important in understanding this whole issue of love. Jesus Christ, we want to love as Jesus Christ loves. Jesus Christ loves as God the Father loves. So therefore, if we understand this in a geometry fashion, then what we have here is we are going to love as God the Father, because that's how Jesus Christ loved. So this is gets back to this whole thing of we saw in 2 Corinthians, where we are in the image of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the Father. Therefore, we are in the image of the Father. We go back to how we were created. So all of this is into play if we can grasp what God is doing in this total beautiful picture. This is what happens when we get hung up on our crusades, get hung up on morality, get hung up just on learning Bible doctrine for the sake of learning doctrine, get hung up on changing the world, and all of these things, we lose the perspective of Christ in us, loving as Christ loved, loving as God the Father loves. And we, so Satan and the flesh, have they made all these other things so important that we've lost perspective of what really is important. This is not just some abstract doctrine. This truth is going to make the difference in our lives if we will grasp it. In your experience with God, your experience with Jesus Christ, and our experience with the Holy Spirit, and coming more and more as we were created in His image, and how we will be for all eternity. How many believers understand and believe that Jesus Christ is in the Father? And the Father is in Jesus Christ? I think very few. I think very few believers, because remember he says, do you not believe? I wonder how many believe it. I wonder how many know what they believe if they do believe it. I think there are those who, well, it's in the Bible, so okay, I believe it. I don't understand it. I don't understand its importance, so let's just move on. But if we can grasp what Jesus Christ is saying here in the upper room in verse 10 and in verse 20, it's going to make a big difference in our lives. Few Christians understand this, I think. Few Christians know what it means. And few Christians will ever have this impact in their lives. They simply do not grasp it. They read it. They may read it and they may say, yeah, I believe that, but I don't know what I believe, but I believe it. But if we can grasp it, it's going to make a significant difference in our lives. So, and this is not talking about positional truth. This is not talking about a state of existence like imputed righteousness. A state of existence. People, this is experiential impact in our life. This will make a difference in our marriages and in our single life and our daily living if we grasp what is going on in these passages. Jumping ahead, I've got it somewhere in my notes here, but this whole thing makes such a difference that it sends Christ to the cross. This isn't Christ's great desire, if you want to be that way, of his flesh nature, but it's not of my initiative. It's his. And I'm in him and he is working through me. So this is what's going to happen. So the union between God the Father and Jesus Christ is vital. The union between you and Jesus Christ is vital to our individual lives. And again, verse 20, he's going to bring how we use the model of he and the Father, and then you come to the model of us and him and us. Jesus Christ and the Father serves as a model for Jesus Christ and us. Understand the one, Jesus Christ and the Father and Jesus Christ, we can grasp the second one, Christ in us and we in Christ. Both are going to make a difference in our lives. Understanding how Christ is in the Father's in Christ, that's going to put this whole thing of the cross and the resurrection and all into one level. And then, so that's going to make a difference. And then understanding it in the second realm where Christ is in us and we are in Christ will make a difference in our lives and our personal relationship with him. Yes?
Where's the Holy Spirit in this relationship between what you're just talking about?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He is going to bring in, he's going to talk about in verse 10, he's going to talk about how the Father, he, Jesus Christ, is in God the Father. God the Father is in him, in the Son, in Jesus Christ. Then we're going to have a discussion on the Holy Spirit, and then he will come, I in you, and you in me. And the Holy Spirit is going to be crucial to understanding how Jesus Christ is in us and how we are in Jesus Christ. What Christ is doing in this discussion is just beautifully building for us everything that is going on in the whole discussion of how it influences our life. In verse 23, we will come to make abode with him. Look at verse 23. So verse 20, in that day when you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This will be by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, and that's got to be by the Holy Spirit, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, God the Father and the Son, will come to him and make our abode with him. This is a mystery that a lot of Christians don't even want to deal with. But it's not that difficult to grasp what's going on if we understand the place of the Holy Spirit in all of this. That's what we have to understand. Look back at chapter 15. John 15, verse 4, 15:4, abide in me and I in you. Now, this lets us know something that, and we'll get to this, but he doesn't have to. So what's going to determine whether we abide in him and he in us? It's going to be our decision about walking by faith in the Spirit, see? So, these are the things that we're going to take a look at. We have a hint of the answer to this mystery in chapter 15, verse 9. 15, verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. I think that is parallel to abide in me. And how do we abide in him? We abide in his love. How do we abide in his love? That's by walking by faith in the Spirit, abiding in the Spirit by faith, because the Spirit pours in this love. So this becomes crucial. Look at Galatians chapter 5 for a moment, please. Jump ahead here to Galatians chapter 5, which we will be looking at a few times in this study. Galatians 5, verse 20. Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Okay? Now, can we live? Yes, in the flesh we can live, or we can be in the Spirit. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this mortal body, I live by faith of the Son of God. Not in the Son of God, the preposition is of the Son of God. So how is Christ in the Father and the Father is in Christ, Jesus Christ? By the Holy Spirit. How does Christ live in us and we in Christ? By the Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. It's spiritual. But it's a reality that is important. 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Preposition is in me. And the life which I now live in this mortal body, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So Christ is in you and you are in Christ is not just a position. This is union that will make a difference in our relationships, in our experience in life. And it doesn't always occur. It does not always exist. Abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us is an ongoing battle in the life of every believer. Let me repeat that. Abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us is an ongoing battle in the life of the believer. And what is it a battle of? It's a battle of faith. Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit at all times. What happens, what interferes so often? I want my will. I want what I want in this case. And it may be sin, it may not be sin, in the sense of what we desire as being sinful. So we may just say, I want my own way here and I'm not going to walk by faith. So this is an ongoing battle of abiding in him and he in us. Now, so we have a union, meaning I and Christ, or I and the Father and me, Christ and me and I and Christ. We have a union model now. Chapter 14, verse 10, I am in the Father and the Father's in me. The relationship that makes a difference in the life of Christ. This is a relationship that makes a difference in the life of Christ. This union determines the words and works of Jesus Christ. He is not going to say anything by his own initiative. He's not going to do anything by his own initiative. This is going to be of the Father. I babble as a fool. But let's just say, Christ, I don't really want to do that. I really don't want to suffer. I really don't want to go to the cross or whatever it may be. I don't want to have to put up with these things anymore. And that would be then he would be going of his own initiative. But he stays constantly in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, for our union, and that union that makes a difference in our individual lives, we will love as Jesus Christ loved, and we will do greater works than Christ. Christ does works, says words and does works. We will say words and do greater works. And seeing and understanding all of these things, people, It begins with faith, and that's why he says in verse 10, do you not believe? This is where it all is, where the battle begins, is trusting him, believing him, believing these things. This is a mystery that is perceived, seen by faith only. And to try to grasp and understand it in logical thinking is not going to be accomplished. It is a spiritual mystery. Verse 10, do you not believe? Great problem of any person, unbeliever or believer. Unbeliever, do you not believe that I'm the Son of God? I'm the Savior. With a believer, do you not believe I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? And this is a great battle for either case, a great problem of people. When the unbeliever does not believe, there is no redemptive salvation. When the believer does not believe, there's no living salvation. The loss of spiritual dynamics in our life. I don't care if you live a wonderful life or a troubled life. Doesn't matter. If you're not in the power of the Spirit, it's wasted life. It's what we're seeing in the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, so this great battle, every member of the human race, unbeliever or believer, is faith. Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? This begins a very important study for us for tonight and maybe a little bit next week, because it forms the model for our relationship with Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. That's as simple as I can put these things out now. Okay, first, I'm going to go by some points here, and here's point one. First thing, Jesus Christ is not saying, he is not saying that God the Father and himself are one and the same person. He's not saying that. He is not saying that God the Father and himself are one and the same person. Just jumping ahead for our thought process, which to me is very important in all of this, in verse 20. Neither is Christ here saying in verse 20, again, noting verse 20, in that day, receiving the Holy Spirit, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus Christ is not saying that you and he are one and the same person. It's not what's being taught. So he's not saying that he and the Father are one and the same person, nor is he saying that you and that we are this, and when we're in Christ, that we're one and the same person. But what Jesus Christ is saying is that there is such a close union by which they live, by which he lives. Union of Christ and the Father. The relationship that they have, and I'll explain how this works as we go through our study tonight. In principle, application, our relationship with Jesus Christ, this is difficult to understand because it is spiritual. And the spiritual things are known only by faith, people. They're not known by human reasoning. They're known by faith. These are the kinds of things that would cause the world to look with disdain on Christianity. Like eating and drinking of his flesh. They don't understand that. Like Paul, I do the things I don't want to do, I don't do the things I want to do. They cannot understand that. And they look, if we talk about this to the world, they look at us like we're crazy. These type of things are not for the world. What the world can grasp is the gospel. When we talk to the world, we talk about the gospel, and that's all. I remember at the University of Houston, and we had a religious center there, and hang out there just for the sake of arguing, which I'm sure is not the right reason that I should have been there, but kept me out of other trouble, I guess. But I'd be there, and they'd come in, all right, Herman, we want to talk about, we want to ask you a question, but don't go through a whole lot of other stuff about the cross. We just want to know about evolution. I can't do that. How can I talk to someone about evolution when they don't when they haven't grasped what the whole earth and the whole reason we're here is all about? I can't. It's a useless conversation, and they can't grasp it. So I just but it became funny that they would always start their conversations with me. Now, we don't want 2 hours on the call. We just want to know about this or that. But this is the point. These things are spiritual things, people. How God, Christ is in God, and God is in Christ. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. And this type of thing, it's not for them. I doubt this is really for a lot of even believers, without some laying down some foundation to it, what's going on. So this sets the pattern. Point two, secondly. The phrase, I am in the Father and the Father is in me, denotes the same relationship from two different perspectives. It denotes the same relationship, but from two different perspectives. And again, it is important that we understand this unique spiritual relationship because it establishes the model for our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. There is a spiritual relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. There is a spiritual relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. There is a spiritual relationship between the Holy Spirit and each one of us. There is a spiritual relationship between each of us and Jesus Christ. I'm always interested in movies when they talk about, and they being just a secular movie, has nothing to do with the truth, and they'll talk about spiritual. We're spiritually in love. I'm not sure they even know what they mean. I guess they mean it's something that's even beyond the flesh nature that they really can't define or describe. But I always enjoy the context when I hear it in movies, when they want to talk about something being spiritual. And they generally were talking about mysticism is spiritual to them. Something that's mystical is spiritual. Something that is out of the flesh is spiritual to them. And that's why they want to give it that kind of credit, that kind of a place. But people, this is a spiritual relationship. And when we say that, what are we talking about? God is Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about a very spiritual relationship between Jesus Christ and the Father, and Jesus Christ and us and Jesus Christ, and us and the Holy Spirit. So again, this is not milk doctrine, but this is a doctrine. This is meat, if you please, that can enrich your life. And the more we understand the spiritual relationship between Jesus Christ and the Father, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in you, and your relationship with Jesus Christ, it enriches our whole life. And people, sometimes I'll talk about how we want to be able to take things on earth and have it touch eternity, have it touch in that spiritual realm, and it can be anything in your life. You can go on a vacation, you can go on a trip, and when you're in the Spirit, you can take that and touch the spiritual realm, whatever we're doing. And this is what's dynamic about being a Christian in the church age, that no matter what we're doing, it can have that spiritual impact that baffles even the angels. So this becomes so important. All right, the third point, point three. We want to understand about this spiritual relationship is that it involves a decision on the part of both Jesus Christ and God the Father. This is very important. It involves a decision made by Jesus Christ and made by God the Father. Very important. This is not something that just automatically happens. This is a choice. This is a choice. This is by choice. This involves a decision by the humanity of Jesus Christ and the sovereign God. They both have to make a decision. And it is going to be a faith decision on our part when we come to verse 20. I am in the Father. All right, understand and believe this, because it serves as a model for our relationship. Jesus Christ is making a decision. Here's your point now. He's making a decision to relinquish his own will to the will of God the Father. He is making a decision to relinquish his own desires. That's why he said, it's not of my initiative. He relinquishes his own will. He relinquishes his own desire to the will of God the Father, and therefore to be in him. The Father is in me. This is awesome. This is unbelievable. That God makes a decision to fill up the void left in Jesus Christ. Well, see, whenever Christ said, I am in the Father, he relinquishes all of his own self, and that leaves a void. What's going to take my place? And what is going to take his place is that God the Father will come in and take up that void. Philippians chapter 3 makes this very clear. Jesus Christ as God made a decision to empty himself of his powers as deity. And to, in doing this, to completely trust God the Father. This is how Jesus Christ is in God the Father. This is how he is. What he's saying is that he is in the Father. A silly example would be a wife, for example, who would say, I relinquish my life to the life of my husband. And so therefore, it is no longer my will, my this, my that. It is his. So she is in him and he is in her. So once she says, I relinquish my own desires, I may have desire to be a dancer, a businessman, or a woman, or whatever it may be, but I am in him. Well, something has to fill up the void. What fills up the void is his existence. And so, therefore, this is what we have happening with Jesus Christ in Philippians 2. We might have to go and take a look at it before we're through with this if we lack some understanding here. But he emptied himself. So if you empty yourself, people, then something has to fill up that void. And what fills up that void is a decision by God the Father. God the Father made a decision to fill up that void with and of himself and his own will and his own words and his own plan. So that the words that I speak are not mine, but the Father has given them to me. The works that I do are not mine, but the Father has given them to me. And has given me his. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying. And this serves a model for us. This is what we must do. We must empty ourselves of ourselves. And by emptying ourselves of ourselves, then and only then can we transfer over to Jesus Christ. And we do this by faith. But it is simply by faith in the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus Christ did it by faith. So, but again, this is only half of it. We make a decision to be in him, and then he in us. We empty ourselves of our own personal life, and then he then takes up residence, fills the void. You say that I'm no longer going to live for myself, that creates a void. Then how are you going to live? What are you going to live for? Then Jesus Christ fills the void by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So this is the dynamic that we have. It is not I who live, but he lives in me. Because it's no longer my life, no longer my desires, no longer what I want to say, to do, to be. I empty all of that and to be in him. And then he fills up the void by being in us by the presence of the Spirit. So that we can now say it is no longer I who live. What does that mean? It's no longer I, but he lives in me. I've emptied myself of my own desire. John put it this way, I must decrease that he increase. That he increase even in my own being. And the only way he can increase in my own being is that I decrease my own being, my desires. So that he becomes my desire. So Jesus Christ himself empties himself as God the Father filled him, so he fills the void in us. And once Jesus Christ makes the decision to empty himself, now God the Father can make a decision, the Father and me. Only once Christ makes that decision. Christ must say, I empty myself. And then the Father said, I will fill up that void. You and I have to say, I empty myself. And then Christ said, I can fill up that void. But as long as we want to keep ourselves on the throne and our own desires and our own words and works and accomplishments, then he can't do it. He can't do it. We're doing it. We're doing what we want. Take that on an individual little thing or the whole span of our life. So this becomes crucial in our understanding of our relationship with him. God the Father makes a decision to fill up the void in his life. And Jesus Christ makes a decision, same decision, to fill up the void in our life. Now, might look at it this way. Once Jesus Christ emptied himself, a void. God the Father came and filled that void. Once you and I empty ourselves of ourself, a void. Then what are we going to live for? What's going to fill it up? Creates a void. God the Holy Spirit comes and fills in that void and takes his presence, and by his presence in us is the presence of Jesus Christ and God the Father. I include the Father from verse 23, where I and the Father will come in and abode with him. When will they do that? When you and I empty ourselves of ourselves, walk in the power of the Spirit, then they both can come in. But if to put it in a crass way, if I am in love with myself, there's no room for him to come in. But if I love him and empty myself of myself, then he will come in and abode and make himself revealed and known to us. This is all very spiritual, all this whole passage that we're dealing with. And again, right in the middle, faith and the Holy Spirit. That's going to put it all together and seeing how all of this is going to work out. So it is going to be not by any will of the flesh, but by the Holy Spirit putting this into us. All right, the fourth point. The fourth. On this union. The impact this union makes. We briefly looked at the making of the union. Now let's look at the impact this union makes in our lives. To put it in straight terms, your life is no longer yours. Your life is no longer yours. Jesus Christ, life is no longer his. Once he put himself in the Father, it's no longer his life. Those of you who have a problem with this ideal of experiencing this union model, this union, take a look at what it did to Jesus Christ. It directed Jesus Christ even to the point of going to the cross. Do I pray that this cup pass from me? No, for this very purpose I'm here. Thy will be done. I've emptied myself of my desire. I'm not here to protect my flesh nature. I'm not here to avoid the suffering, the physical suffering of the cross. It is not I who live, but Christ, if we're speaking of Christ, but the Father who lives in me by presence of the Spirit. So that directs him, his life. And so this affects his relationship and his actions and his words on earth. Note again, I am in the Father in me. Therefore, the effect this union has on me. Take a look at verse 10. This is what we're looking at. I am in the Father in me. Therefore, the effect this union has on me. Our point four is about, is the effect this has on us. The effect this has on me is, the words that I say to you, I do not speak from my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. That's the effect of the union between he and the Father in him makes. You see what I'm saying there? How we did the verse? I am in the Father in me. Therefore, now this is, if you have the red, like I do right here, the red for the words of Christ, now in black ink, therefore, the effect this union has on me is that The word, now we're back to his words. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. That's the effect of this union model. That's the effect of the union between the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father. Yes. Yes.
Because is there room for a partnership in that's been a big question now for a long time.
I don't think there's a partnership, because once Jesus Christ gives himself over to the Holy Spirit, because that's how the Father is going to work out his plan in Jesus Christ, is by the leading, that all that Jesus Christ has done is emptied himself over to him.
And that means that the Holy Spirit
is doing it.
Doing all
of it. All of it. And I'll come to that. In fact, I got it in my notes here, that when you and I sing, give, all of that, it's not me doing it.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Well, if I'm in the Spirit, if I'm in this union model, it is not us doing it. It is Him doing it, and then we get a reward for allowing Him to do that through us. So I would say that no, it is not a partnership. In a partnership, both have a part that they have to do. And all that we have to do is to completely empty ourselves by faith in the Spirit. And then the Spirit does it all.
You're just confirming what you said 10 years ago. There's
yeah.
No room for a partnership.
Yeah, there's no partnership here.
God does all the work.
Yeah.
Or it's not accepted.
Yeah. But there's no partnership on our part. Okay, so I am in the Father in me. Therefore, the effect of this in my life, as I live with you now, you disciples, these 3 years, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Once we're fully aware of the union, everything about you is not about you now. Everything about you is not about you. Even the words that come out of your mouth should no longer be your words. I am in the Father. The words that I say, I do not speak of my own initiative. His words are not of human origin. His actions are not of human origin. They are of God. And the same thing is true of you and I. When you and I are walking in the Spirit, and especially as we consistently walk in the Spirit, the words that we speak are not ours. Things that we do are not ours. They are God. The Father abiding in me does his works. So the word abiding is going to help us understand what it means that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Works that I do are not mine but his. All that Christ does is not of human origin, both his words and his works. But they are what? They are a revelation of God the Father. They are a revelation, a revealing of the love of God the Father. They come from God the Father, therefore they reveal God the Father and what the Father is like. That's why he says, you want to see the Father, you see me. Because what I do is not of me, it's of the Father. So when we want to learn about the Father, we learn how he came upon darkness and sent the light, his Son. He came upon the darkness in man and he went to the cross and died, paving the way. The Gospel of John is in effect. The Gospel of John is a revelation of God the Father. The Gospel of John, in effect, is a revelation, a revealing of God the Father. The Book of Revelation is a revealing of Jesus Christ, a revelation of Jesus Christ. But the Gospel of John is a revelation of God the Father through His Son, a revealing of God the Father through His Son. What is the church? The church is a revealing of Jesus Christ through the believer when we're filled with the Spirit, walking in His love, walking in His light. That's why very few people in the world really know about Jesus Christ and the love of Christ, because very few Christians even know how to properly walk in the power of the Spirit and love as Christ loved. It's not seen. And America's getting darker because there are fewer and fewer who are walking by the filling of the Spirit, therefore loving as he loved. Because he is revealed in the church age by believers abiding in Christ and loving as Christ loved. And so few even know how to do that. They have an ideal of what Christ would be like. That's what they try to portray. We don't have that. We simply allow him to work through us, speak through us. This is what this union model, the experiential effect that it has. So the model affecting our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for us individually. As we walk in the Spirit by faith, this union will affect your own life. What you say will not be your words. What you do will not be your doing. This is what you and I were just talking about. It will be the doing of God the Holy Spirit. Prayer, singing, witnessing, giving. Everything we do, everything we say. And yet what is beautiful about all of this, if we take an understanding of rewarding it all, is that we're going to be rewarded, not for things we did, but simply by allowing, emptying ourselves of ourselves and allowing him to do those things in and through us.
So we're not doing
it. No. We're doing anything. No, he's doing it. We simply allow him to use us by emptying ourselves into him, and his Spirit works through us. The words and works of Jesus Christ are not his, but they are God the Father. Therefore, they reveal the Father, what God the Father is like. So our words and our works should not be our own, but reveal Jesus Christ. And this is especially true in regard to love. So I hope we're beginning to see this relationship. I am in the Father in me. And this will have experiential effect in our lives. It will affect that the world will see Christ in us. Not how much doctrine we know, not how good we can be, but loving as he loved. So the effect of this is going to be in our lives. Therefore, the words that I speak to you are not on my own initiative, and the Father does his works through me. Since Jesus Christ is in the Father, since God the Father is in Christ, it makes a difference in what Christ says and what Christ does. I am in Jesus Christ, therefore the words and works are not mine. That would be our way of saying what Christ is saying about him and the Father. I am in Christ. I'm walking in the Spirit. Therefore, the words and the works are not mine. We do not speak of our own initiative. They are of him. Okay, I think we've covered enough to think about and get into this. And next week we can pull all of this together and move on in the with the actual coming of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ teaching here. Any questions? So there's a lot of stuff we cover tonight. And I don't think very many believers even think about these things. And yet, here in the upper room, in prophesying for the church, this is what Jesus Christ lays out for us. So it is something that we can grasp, need to grasp, to live the life where he is revealed in and through us. Yes, sir.
I thank you for allowing questions and discussion.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
In the context of when some said,
yeah.
In the class, if the context is gone and lost,
yeah.
Or if everybody's ready to go.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Right in there, if it's right there, that's the time to ask.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I love that. I was talking to Nancy Becker just today, and she said she had listened to Romans 1 this last Sunday, and she says, boy, I can't believe they just don't have questions. She said, man, I'd keep you all Sunday afternoon with questions and questions and questions. And I said, I know it. I have questions. But so, okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, this is a spiritual mystery, but it's not beyond our understanding in the simplicity and the power of the Spirit. It's not beyond our grasping the significance of it in our lives. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here. So I pray your Spirit can just make these things. Let me teach it in simplicity and in clarity so we can grasp what's going on. Let it make an impact in our lives so that we, when we love as Christ loved, the world is seeing not us, but they're seeing Jesus Christ. They're seeing how He would love. How His love acts. How His love speaks. And in turn, Heavenly Father, we now understand that this is really Your love. How Your love speaks. How Your love acts. And that will be through us. The world can't understand this kind of love. They can only be amazed by it. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.